Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Over the past couple of months, we've been talking with Democratic aspirants to the state's highest office. They're running against Republican Charlie Baker, the governor with the highest approval rating of any governor in the country. Now, so far, we've talked with Bob Massey and Jay Gonzalez. Today, Seti Warren joins us to talk about why he's taking on Baker. Warren is the mayor of Newton, Massachusetts, and he's with me now in the studio. Mayor Warren, welcome to you.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, first of all, we usually start off these conversations by saying, give us your pitch about why you want to be a governor, but I want to do that in a slightly different way today, right?
Okay.
Because I just, you know, shout out to Newton. Great city, but some facts about Newton, Massachusetts. Median income, $122,000, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. 96% of Newton residents have at least a high school degree. Only 5% of the population below the poverty level, 80% white, 3% African-American, 13% Asian. So Newton's a city that's doing really well in Massachusetts. But my question to you is, you know, it's not necessarily representative of other parts of the Commonwealth. Mm. So what makes you think that you can take that and take your experience in Newton and be a good governor for the whole of Massachusetts?
Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for those stats. Look, you know, we have the second highest number of millionaires in the state, but at the same time, 1 in 8 of our residents live at or below the poverty line. When we think about the issue of our time, the defining issue of our time, I believe it's economic inequality. And it's striking here in the greater Boston area, including in Newton. I was very lucky as a young kid that grew up in Newton. My parents grew up really in two tough neighborhoods, Harlem and the Bronx. My dad used his military GI Bill benefits from Korea to purchase the home where I grew up with my two sisters and where I live today with my wife and 9-year-old and 6-year-old with GI Bill benefits. This was a generational investment for people of modest means to make ends meet and ensure their kids can do better than they did. That is not happening in our Commonwealth today. The divide is growing. People and communities are falling behind. That's why I'm in this race.
Okay, but specifically, what could you do as governor then to close that the inequality gap? Because I mean, we've talked to the current governor, Mayor Marty Walsh, lots of other politicians from around the state. And in truth, at the, you know, maybe at the state level, perhaps there are limited things that you can do to take a bite out of this problem.
The question is, what kind of Commonwealth do we want to be? I put two proposals forward the day I announced. Free public college, we need to redefine public education. And I also propose single-payer health care. These are two drivers of economic inequality, lack of access to a strong, good, solid education so you have a skill set to compete, and health care, which is very expensive for people, and they're having to make really serious choices between health and other things. And it all starts with the state budget. On Friday, Standard & Poor's downgraded the state's bond rating. This is a very serious measure that was taken by a third-party rating agency. It's the first time Standard & Poor's has downgraded our bond rating in 30 years. Mm-hmm. It is an indication of the fact that this budget is in crisis, and it has been for a long time. We are not being direct and honest with the residents of the state of Massachusetts. Beacon Hill has not, and the governor's the lead on this budget. I've called for Mass Budget and Policy Center's proposal to ensure that we put out in a transparent way what we're spending money on now, what it takes to maintain the programs we have in place now and in the future. It starts there.
So since you brought that up, I'll just say briefly that, yes, Standard & Poor's analyst wrote on Friday, quote, that the state has not demonstrated a commitment to its adopted budget reserve policies. But it's also only one of the rating agencies. The other two have held Massachusetts at AAA.
Yeah. As a municipal leader, as a mayor, I know how serious that a downgrading is. It is a very serious thing. It means that we may not be able to implement projects, pay for services in the near future and the long term. But it's also a very serious indicator of the fact that the state, Beacon Hill, is using one-time revenue sources to keep this budget afloat. We're not being honest and direct and clear about what it takes to maintain what we have, And going furthermore, and that's Mass Budget and Policy Center's proposal, we also need to be honest about our revenue projections, which have been off in the last couple of years. I'm calling for multi-year revenue projections. I'm calling for us to look at every single expenditure in that budget, including tax expenditures that are given away to special interests, and be honest about revenue. Then we can make the investments that matter so we can deal with economic inequality in the state.
Okay, so getting back to some of those investments that matter, you say you want universal or single-payer health care.
Yep.
In Massachusetts?
Yes.
How would you do that?
Well, look, you know, here's what I want to see out of a single-payer system. I want to make sure that health outcomes are based on the health of the person. I want to make sure we have community-based care that's there, and I want to make sure it's accessible and affordable for all people. It's got to include things like mental health and dental health. Right now, our system is very expensive. As we head into the next year, the federal government is looking at cutting back on certain types of health benefits. We're in a very fluid situation.
But Mayor Warner, if I can just jump in here. My question is specifically, how would you make single payer work in Massachusetts? What would that look like? Would people all be paying into the state? And then, I mean, I don't understand what that means within one state.
So we have to look at varying options, right? There are a lot of options on the table. I've been talking to a lot of healthcare experts. We certainly can look at a public option, which I think is very real and could occur here in Massachusetts. But the first question we have to ask ourselves is what kind of commonwealth do we want to be? What kind of healthcare system do we really need here in the commonwealth?
I mean, 97% of Massachusetts residents already have healthcare because of our health reform law. I mean, that in itself right now, as you well know, is that's the thing that's really under threat with all the activity going on in
Washington.
Really,
but also the accessibility question is there, and the cost question is there.
Right.
When we're thinking about mental health benefits, we're dealing with a crisis in the opioid addiction area. The governor just this past year cut opioid addiction funding for Barnstable County. It's wrong. So we've got to have a healthcare system that addresses the needs of all of our residents in every part of the state. That's based on outcomes, health outcomes for people.
Yeah. You see, I'm only pressing on healthcare here because it's a huge issue for everyone personally and also as an industry and as an important point of Massachusetts leadership nationally. Yeah. But I guess I'm not clear on is already we have the highest number of insured folks in the state. I take your point about accessibility for basic care and for mental health. I take your point. But in terms of the number of people insured, we've got the highest in the country, 97%. What I'm wondering is, given that that already exists, what's the functional difference between that and single payer? To me, it almost seems like in the Massachusetts context, single payer is kind of like a really attractive buzzword that maybe gets people to look at your ideas, but it's not functionally all that different than what we have now.
So when I hear from people making decisions between prescription drugs and affording to pay the rent, when I'm hearing people making, and this is what I've heard across the state of Massachusetts, people asking whether, contemplating whether they're going to purchase inhalers for their children or ensure that they can put food on the table. This is what I hear from families across the state. The question is, what kind of commonwealth do we want to be? Is that okay? Is the status quo okay? This is a driver of economic inequality. Mm-hmm. We've got to deal with it, and we can't ignore it anymore. We need to make sure we have a healthcare system in place that is affordable and accessible to all people in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. So getting back to this bond rating that you brought up, the Standard & Poor's dropping the Commonwealth's bond rating to AA from AAA. I mean, one of the reasons why that's happened is because Democratic leadership on Beacon Hill also sort of signed off on not replenishing the rainy day fund. I mean, those are folks that you would have to work with as governor. I mean, what could you say to convince them, to convince Bob DeLeo, for example, that maybe looking for new revenue streams is something the state needs? He's sworn against that.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, the governor is the lead on the budget. The chief executive officer presents the budget. I also believe we need to challenge everyone at Beacon Hill, including those that are the members of my own party, to be transparent and honest about what it takes to maintain the programs we have in place right now. Right now, we have 18 days left in this budget. There's still a $500 million deficit that Beacon Hill is dealing with. There's a projected $1 billion deficit next year. In order to get to a place where you can start making decisions about where we're spending money, how we're spending money, I mentioned tax exemptions, mm-hmm. that we need to take a close look at. Billions of dollars we're giving away to special interests, and be honest about the fact we need to raise revenue. We can't get there unless we embrace what Mass Budget and Policy Center has said. Let's be honest and transparent about what it takes to fund what we're already doing. I called for this 5 months ago. My question to Beacon Hill is, if you're not going to adopt it, then why? When we're heading into another budget where we are being floated by, staying afloat by gimmicks and one-time revenue, it's wrong.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about more about you personally, if I may,
sure.
Because you're African American and you've actually spoken quite publicly about racial incidents in your own life, right? When you were a kid, I'm thinking about one that happened in the 1970s, and your mother was walking down a street with you and your sister. Your twin sister, by the
yes.
way, right? Near Newton North.
Good research.
And I've got a great team. We come to the table prepared. A group of white teenagers actually threw rocks at you. Is that right?
That's true. When my parents, it was right after my parents purchased the home in 1972, that incident happened. But one of the things that came out of that incident, my dad had contacted the mayor and didn't know the mayor at all. They ended up working together on making Newton a more hospitable climate for African Americans. And it was one of the stories my father shared with me, my parents shared with me before he passed away back in 2010, is what we can do together, how we can actually turn an incident that like that around. When I think about what's happening in our country right now and what's happening in the Commonwealth and the divisions that are in place right now politically, with the presidential election that's occurred, I think about the fact we've got to push back, and I'm a Democrat, lifelong Democrat. We've got to push back against these policies coming out of the Trump administration that are divisive, the Muslim ban, the federalization of police officers. We've got to push back against that, and I have, and cuts to investments for people of moderate income. At the same time, there are people that voted for President Trump that didn't vote for him for those reasons. We've got to reach out to those folks if we're going to deal with the issue of our time, which I believe is economic inequality.
Well, so let me ask you about that then. I mean, maybe you already answered it, but Anthony Brooks, our political reporter here, he did a series of reports called, 1 million Trump voters in a blue state, or 1 million red voters in a blue state. Anyway, saying that a million Massachusetts voters did vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, so tell me more specifically how you plan to reach out to them.
One of the things I did in the city of Newton, there's 7,000 people that voted for Donald Trump in the city of Newton. I put together a dinner with Clinton supporters and Trump supporters shortly after the election with the premise of how can we work together for the common good. Out of that dinner became a relationship with someone, a woman named Jenny Gardner, who was a Trump supporter, who actually worked with me to put in place a welcoming city ordinance shortly after that. And she got other Trump supporters to support that ordinance because she believed, like I believe, we shouldn't federalize our police officers. People who are undocumented in our community should not be afraid of the police. This is what we've got to do. We've got to bring people together so we can solve the very difficult problems in front of us. And I believe that the one that's in front of us is this economic inequality issue. And we've got to, Beacon Hill is not hearing people on the ground in communities across the state of Massachusetts. We have to work together as one Commonwealth if we're going to change things.
You served in the military. Tell me more about that.
1 year. I did 1 year in Iraq. I enlisted in the military a little bit after 9/11. My father was in the military, Korean War veteran. My grandfather was in the Battle of the Bulge, World War II. We have a military history in my family. I was deployed in 2007. Two things I took from that deployment. Number one was the appreciation of men and women who do multiple deployments. The second was the fact that I was embedded on this base with people that had nothing in common with me, people of different political persuasions, race, different geography. We had to work together. We couldn't afford not to, and we had to have each other's back to complete these missions we were on. And when I think about this challenge that we have in front of us politically, it's the same challenge when I talk about the divisions between Clinton supporters and Trump supporters. We have to work together. We have to look past the political differences we have, racial differences we have, religion, background, sexual orientation, and geography, and work together if we're going to change the way the Commonwealth is working and ensure it works for everyone.
Well, Seti Warren is the mayor of Newton, Massachusetts. He is running for the governor, the governorship. I was just going to, I'm making up words here on Radio Boston. He's thrown his hat into the race for Massachusetts governor again. That's for 2018. Mayor Warren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And if you go to radioboston.org, listeners, by the way, you can hear our other conversations with other Democratic hopefuls for the governor's office. Again, that's at radioboston.org. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.